Well, good morning. It is morning still. At the 9:15 service, I had my mum present. So I have to say, the pressure's off a little bit now. I feel a little bit more relaxed. We've come to the point in the series that we've been looking at. We're at the last week in a series looking at the people of God, the people of mission. And it's been a great series. It's been a great opportunity to focus on who we are as people of mission. What does that mean to us? How do we fit under this great big umbrella of God's mission and God's overall aim for us and role for us in His work, in all that He is doing? And I've been excited to have the opportunity to share with you on this topic already and to hear other people speaking. You know, obviously often I'm out the back with the children and young people, but I've listened to some of the talks as well and been particularly challenged, because I think it's a great challenge as we think about how we do mission, how we are missional in the areas of influence amongst the people that we come into contact with. It's a crucial part of our lives and the difference that God can make in us and in the lives of others. And as I say, this morning is our final talk on this particular series, and we're looking at being people who are sent. So we're looking at this whole concept, this whole idea of being ascending, being people who are sent out into our community. Let me just pray now. Heavenly Father, thank you that you call us to be sent, to be people who are sender, who are being sent into your world. And I pray as we try and understand a bit of this passage, a familiar passage, Lord, that you'd speak into our hearts and lives, and that you would transform us so that we might leave this place different, and in a place where we understand all that you have for us in greater light. Amen. So, people who are sent. The question, the overriding question that I want to share with you, or that I want to ask you this morning, is, are you ready to go? Now, we're going to be reading, or we have read, a familiar passage. I'm going to pick up on it a little bit more in a moment. But we've heard a passage of Scripture that you've probably heard countless times. You've probably read it a lot. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, is well known. You've probably heard sermons on this passage. The danger is that we can get to a point where we think, yes, I've heard that before. You know, I've heard that message. I know what you're going to say, Andy. I want to challenge you this morning to say that actually God might have something different to say to you this morning. That God might reveal something different from this passage that perhaps you'd not noticed before. Perhaps something that you hadn't picked up on before. And God wants to speak to you in a different way. So let's make sure as we look at this passage that we're not sitting there thinking, you know what, I've heard this. I know what this passage is all about. There might be something here for you. Something different. This is a familiar passage for many reasons, but one of those reasons is that these are some of the last words that we hear Jesus speaking. These are some of the last words that we have of Jesus. And last words are an important thing, aren't they? We often want to know what people's last words, their final words are, because it can kind of give us a bit of a picture of what their life was all about. It gives us a slight summary into this person's life. Although that's the hope. You know, quite often people's last words are not quite as inspirational or powerful as perhaps we might like. W.C. Fields, when he was reading his Bible on his deathbed, while he was asked why he was reading his Bible on his deathbed, he replied, "I'm looking for loopholes." On a less humorous note, while on the brink of death, the wife of world-renowned chemical scientist Michael Faraday asked him if he'd ever pondered what his occupation would probably be in the next life. Before he fell totally unconscious to the world, Faraday calmly uttered his last words in response to the question of his wife. The scientist said these words on his deathbed, "I shall be with Christ, and that is enough. I shall be with Christ, and that is enough." What great last words. Last words that are actually looking ahead to a hope and a future that he has in Christ Jesus. Jesus' last words, or some of his last words, were powerful and had an impact. Tom Wright, in his commentary on Matthew, he picks up on this and he talks about the whole of the Gospel of Matthew being like a composed piece of songwriting, something like Beethoven might produce, where, you know, you've got this big build-up and it's coming to a really important point, and then the music gets louder and louder, and then the crescendo, and then this great moment, and then the music fades, and then it builds again. So we have Jesus coming into Jerusalem, Jesus' death and resurrection, and then at the very end, there's even more to come. This last moment in Matthew's gospel, this last bit gives us a good picture and a good idea of what Jesus was about and why Jesus spent so much time talking about the kingdom. Jesus, of course, had two opportunities to give final words, because he did it on the cross when he said, "It is finished." And he did it again, something that most of us don't get, that opportunity. But Jesus was talking to us when Jesus gave that final word in the Great Commission. And the key word in that passage was to go. Jesus was telling the followers who were with him at that point, he was telling them they need to go. And this morning we're asking the question, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Another final words from someone. A story that I heard just the other day, a healthcare worker who works on an old people's ward, was telling this story, which my guess is this kind of story happens relatively frequently, but he was telling this story of an old lady who was on the ward where he was working. She was further down the hallway, and his words were that she was frail and she looked like she was dead already. And she was standing there, and she motioned to him to come over. So he walked over, and she put his ear next to her mouth. And she quietly said, "I just wanted to say goodbye to somebody." A couple of days later, she passed away. "I just wanted to say goodbye to somebody." You know, in our world today, there are millions of people like that old lady. There are millions of people who are alone and without hope. You know, there are thousands of people in Hartford who are alone and without hope today. Thousands of people who need Jesus, who need you. The question this morning is, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Off the back of that question, I want to ask three other questions of you this morning that come out of this passage. Firstly, are you worshipping Jesus as Lord? Verse 17, which was a verse that we didn't read, which just comes before what we read from the Great Commission. So if you've got your Bibles, Matthew 28... So just before Jesus says all that he says in verses 18 to 20, this is what happens. So the 11, or the disciples, Jesus' followers, came to where Jesus was, where he told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. But some hesitated. You know, as I was grappling with this passage, I was really struggling with this particular verse. I was struggling because these people had been with Jesus for the past 3 years. They'd seen Jesus change people's lives. They'd seen Jesus heal blind men. They'd seen Jesus walk on the water. They'd seen Jesus calm the storm. They'd seen Jesus feed thousands of people with a few bits of bread. They'd seen Jesus speak to people with such authority that it transformed their lives forever. They'd seen Jesus shut the Pharisees up. They'd seen Jesus die on a cross just a little while earlier, and now they were standing in front of Jesus himself, and some hesitated. They still hesitated, even after all of that. Even after three phenomenal years, life-changing years for these men and women, some hesitated. Are you hesitating this morning? Are you hesitating this morning? You know, we've all been through stuff in our lives that we can look back on and say, do you know what? I really can see God. God was at work in my life then. You know, we've all got a testimony. We've all got a story that says, you know, I know God is good and God has done great things. But sometimes we hesitate. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we pause and we stop and we're unsure and we're uncertain. You know, it's not wrong to hesitate and have doubts. It's what we then do that's important. It's how we respond to that feeling that's crucial. See, God calls us to be worshippers. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I talked about the fact that worship is about showing adoration, about serving, and about boasting in God. And that is what God calls us to. And here in this passage, this is a moment of adoration. This is when the disciples recognized Jesus as Lord and King of their lives. And they gave him their adoration. But some doubted, some hesitated. You know, when we come face to face with someone that we lack trust in or we doubt, our natural reaction is to kind of turn away, or it's to look down, or it's to not look them in the eye. We don't want them to see our doubt, to see our fear, to see our lack of trust. But you know what? Scripture tells us we should do, to God we should do the exact opposite. Hebrews 12 verse 2. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what Scripture tells us to do. You know, when we doubt, when we hesitate, when we pause, when we have those moments that where we think, I don't know if I can do this. The Bible tells us that that's when we fix our eyes on Jesus. That's when we look to him. You know, our worship to God is evident in the way we live our lives. It's quite easy to measure whether we're a worshipper or not. You can do it yourself. It's not hard. It's in everything that you do. It's in your whole life. If you're honest with yourself, in those moments of quiet, in those short bits where you think, oh, I've got a little bit of free time now, what do you think? What do you do? Do you focus on God? Do you think, actually, I've got a great opportunity here to pray? When you're meeting up with your friends, what's your thought? What's your first action? Is it, this is going to be a great opportunity for me to live out my Christian life amongst my friends? When you sit down at home and you think, I'm going to read a book, is it the Bible that's the first book that you think, this is the one I want to pick up and read? Do you have to convince yourself to put the Bible down or convince yourself to pick it up? That tells you an awful lot about where your heart is. Do you have to convince yourself to spend time in prayer that actually that's a really important thing? Or is it something that comes naturally to you? Something that you desire, something that you want to do? If you're hesitant in your worship, focus on Jesus. Look to him. Actively spend time thinking, I'm going to spend this time in prayer. I'm going to spend this time listening to God. I'm going to spend this time reading his word. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Are you ready to go? The next question that I want us to reflect on this morning is, do you know what he wants you to do? Verse 19 is quite clear on this, and I've tried not to kind of give over any subliminal messages. He wants you to go. But I think it's quite clear what God is saying. I think it's quite clear what Jesus, the message that Jesus is bringing from this passage. He's telling us to go. You know, and this follows on really neatly from the first point. Because actually, if we're people who are worshippers, if we're people who trust God completely, then to go, that's enough. We don't need the real detailed outworkings of everything of what that means, of every step in the path. You know, so often we think, actually, I need to know what the next step is, or it would be really great, God, if you could just tell me what I'm, you know, if I'm going to go and serve you, where I'm going to be in the next 3 months, or what's going to be happening next week, and how that's going to fit and how that's going to work. No, Jesus tells his disciples to go. That's the command. Jesus tells us to go. We heard it this morning, didn't we, from Claire and Joanna. What are their big things for prayer? You know, they don't necessarily know what the next step is, but they're bold enough and brave enough and trust God enough to say, do you know what? I'm just going to go. Wherever that is, wherever God's going to lead me, I'm going to go. Now, for some of us, that might be a physical place. That might be God saying, you know, I'm calling you to this particular place. I want you to go here to South America or to wherever. I want you to go. But actually, it might be a go in terms of in the community with where you're already placed. This may be just God saying, I want you to go amongst the people that you see every day. We're called to be God's witnesses in the places where we are, in the places where we serve. Now, there's a warning attached to this. Because so often when we go, actually, God calls us and puts us in situations that might make us uncomfortable, that might be difficult for us, where we might struggle, where we don't want to be, where we have that gut-wrenching moment where we're thinking, I really don't want to do this. This is really hard for me to do. But God is calling us to go. God is calling us to be faithful to him, to be servants of him, and to go wherever he wants us to go. Are you ready to go? On a practical level, we've heard about the Linvoy Primus event, which is coming up in June. We do Alpha courses here. We have, on Easter Day, we've got at the 11 o'clock service, we've got a baptism service. We have great outreach opportunities. But it doesn't have to be a particular event. It's not about trying to invite them to something we're doing as a church. You as an individual have a great opportunity. You've got a great story that you can share with people. And just live, simply living life as a Christian in and amongst the people that you mix with. Being different. Being a Christian influence. Sharing your story with others is going into the community. It's going into the workplace. It's going amongst your friends and family. And being Jesus to them. I encourage you even to set yourself challenges. It might be to say, this week I'm going to speak to my neighbour and share a little bit of my faith with my neighbour. Or this week I'm going to talk to John about coming along to the Easter baptism service. I don't know why it's always John that we need to pray for John. He needs our prayer. Whoever it is, whatever people that you're in contact with, set yourself some challenges to go. Because that's the mission that God calls us to. Are you ready to go? Third question that I want to raise with you or share with you is, are you aware of the cost? Again, I've kind of picked up on this a little bit on the last point. That there's a danger, there's a warning that we have to be aware of when we say, yes, God, I'm prepared to go. I'm prepared to do what you want me to do. You see, Matthew 28, very evident in the minds of the disciples at this point, would be everything that they've just experienced and seen. Everything that Jesus has just gone through on the cross, dying on that cross. The rejection, the pain, the suffering that Jesus went through at that time was right there in the forefront of their minds. In fact, right there, probably in the forefront of Jesus' mind too, that actually some of the very people who rejected Jesus were standing in front of him there. His own friends ran away. You see, Jesus knew only too well the cost of just going. But Jesus at the same time calls us to do the same. Jesus says, this is the challenge for you. Go into all the world and be my witnesses. Go into Hartford. Go into the community where you're connected with people. And know that you will suffer loss and rejection. It will be painful. It will be challenging. But the great news is that we're not called to go on our own. It's not a lonely experience of just going out there and just paying the price. We know that God is with us. So to just conclude and pull this together, three key points, three key questions from this passage. Are you worshipping Jesus as Lord? Do you know what he wants you to do? Are you aware of the cost? As I say, there's great news with this. Although that can come and sound a little bit discouraging at that point, there's a great reward. We have hope in Jesus. The story I told you about that old lady, she didn't have hope. You know, I don't want there to be people in this world who end their lives without hope, who don't have a future to look forward to, who are lost and lonely. That's why we do what we do. Because we have a great hope. We recognize that hope. Our lives have been changed and transformed because of God. And we can cling to that. And we can hold on to that when we go through the tough times, when we go through the challenges. We have fullness of life in God. And that is something to rejoice in. That is something to celebrate and to share. We also have a great fellowship of believers here together where we can support one another. We can encourage one another and spur one another on. We're going to have an opportunity to reflect now. And I'm going to ask Dave to play quietly in the background, and if we leave this slide on, it's an opportunity. I'm conscious that I've asked a lot of questions of you this morning, and I want you to have an opportunity to think through, what is God challenging you with this morning? What is the thing that God is speaking into your life? So as Dave plays, feel free to bow your head, feel free to focus on God. Feel free to look at the screens. Look at the questions. Where is God challenging you to go? Where is God challenging you to make a difference? What does God want to say to you this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're a great God and a great King. We thank you that we can worship you. We can give our adoration to you. We can trust you fully. We pray that you would strengthen us in our times of hesitancy, in our times of doubt. Lord, that you would lead us and guide us. We would know your hand at work in our lives as we go, as we take the risk, as we meet the challenge, to reach out to our community, to the people that we're in contact with. Father, we recognize the cost and we still choose you. We still choose to go. Thank you for the great reward we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. and our King. Amen.